We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you're with us on a Friday where sometimes you just need to cut loose a little bit. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. We got a lot more to get to in just a minute, but we do have an update on our latest tale of the tape.
Yeah.
And let me just say, nailed it.
You know what? I have just about had it with all of you guys and your poor taste in what goes on around here.
Nailed it.
We'll have our final round of the Tale of the Tape. Carol, it's up on Twitter. You can vote on it now. We're going to reveal it to you later on in about an hour. But our last round, our Friday Tale of the Tape fictional fight card that goes on around here, it was high school movie character edition. And we had in the second round of that one, in the second round of the voting that went on, the category is essentially like the bullies. Why are we friends with them? It was Steve Stifler from American Pie versus Regina George from Mean Girl. Stifler's winning 82% to 18.
It's over.
Who called it?
I can't fathom this.
Regina
George is one of the greatest high school movie characters of all time, and you pigs are just out here going after the easy low-hanging fruit.
She ain't Stifler.
My vote went to Regina George because of how I chose to vote for these characters, but I am not stunned that Stifler won, because somebody actually tweeted in, are we voting on the character? Or are we voting on, how are we voting? I just said, vote your conscience. That's all you gotta do.
It's not anyone's job to tell you how to vote.
You vote how you want, okay? Yeah. But Stifler, with the stiff win there.
Yeah. Oh. And by the way, we're doing high school. Oh my God in heaven.
All right.
By the way, we're doing high school movie characters because so many high school graduations are going on across the country right now. You see the signs in probably every front lawn in your neighborhood if you've walked around at all. So certainly, happy graduation. We know it's not the way you wanted it to, and we are celebrating with you in the dumbest way we know.
It's where it is. Just enjoy it. Our first category was the awkward category where McLovin beat Napoleon Dynamite, so we'll have the third category coming up. Do you want to give a teaser on what the category is?
Well, it's going to involve a lot of song and dance. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
And we're probably going to join in on that one. So as long as we're joining in on stuff, why don't we welcome in Dominique Fox, who's going to join us.
Yeah, let's graduate from the dumb stuff to actual stuff.
Oh, he's not ready right now. Never mind. We're not going to join him.
I got to say, it's a real Friday. We're getting dumb stuff, then. Actually, I'm getting a phone call from Dominique Foxworth now.
Oh, interesting.
That seems problematic.
You know, just I'll talk and you take it.
Hold on. You guys talk for a second. I'll take it.
We might have to put him up against the microphone it like that. Yeah, this is going to get interesting, because Dominique's interesting because we can literally go anywhere with him.
Yeah, we can. We can talk, because again, he was involved in the NFL union, the NBA union. May have some questions with him about
the baseball
what's going
union.
On in baseball and the union in that situation.
I'd always be curious how a member of these other major unions in pro sports would have looked at Major League Baseball's Players Association in a lot of this.
Yeah. I'm very interested in his thoughts on it. Let's see.
All right, Trey,
did you just
have a full conversation with Dominique?
And he said he didn't want to talk to either of you clowns.
Right. Okay.
We're having some technical difficulties. Apparently there's a ding and a drop and it's all going terribly wrong. Much like the entire show today.
Yeah.
So we're hopeful we'll get the technical part works out. If that doesn't work, we'll just put him on the phone somehow, some way. But I had to hang up for the people in the control room to try and call back. He actually said, what, you don't want me on the show? This is how you're keeping me off the show today, by saying, air quote, technical issues?
I see. I feel bad because I put myself out there last night asking him about it. And I really wanted to have Dominique on to cover a number of things, because we've got play resuming right now across a lot of these leagues, including the NFL, and how those COVID plans are going to go in there. Obviously, Dominique was fired up yesterday hearing from our colleague Ryan McGee weighing in on everything that had gone on. Oh, my God. I think we have him.
Wow.
Is it possible? Dom, are you there?
No. Did it drop again? It dropped again.
Wow.
All right. You know what? Wait a minute. Dominique, is Dominique not paying his phone bill on time? What's going on?
We don't know what's going on here. We really don't.
This is an abject.
But you're right. It is a shame because Dominique can go in a lot of different directions.
Apparently just can't go on the phone.
The latest news out in the NFL. The NFL has donated or is donating $250 million over the next 10 years to the social injustice, all the causes out there. They had already promised $100 million.
Yeah, so back when the Players Coalition started, you know, in fall of 2017 in that year, they had the commitment there for $100 million towards this. They had already anticipated going over that, but now an extra commitment over 10 years of $250 million towards some of those causes, as well as some other news. All right, Dominique, are you there? I'm going to ask, I have no idea anymore. Are you there?
Yes, Dom?
Okay, well, this hasn't worked. This hasn't worked at all.
Did it drop again?
Yeah, it seems so.
This is remarkable. All right, yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe we can get Dominique.
Should I just have him call and hold him up to the microphone?
No, I don't think that.
Should we do that?
I don't think he's calling me now.
Well. Is he really?
Yeah.
You have a conversation all with him, and we'll try and figure this out.
You guys talk about Pete Carroll and if he's really going to sign Colin Kaepernick.
Well, we'll finish on the money donated by the NFL. Again, $250 million over 10 years. In the first two-plus seasons already of what has gone on since Colin Kaepernick, you know, started with the silent or the peaceful protest kneeling at the NFL games, the NFL has already donated $44 million to fund social justice work on the national level. The league has awarded grants to 20 organizations, and also the NFL Foundation has funded 350 grassroots programs. So I think that's what it's going to be, Trey, is, okay, money's the easy part for a league that makes $15 billion a year. That's what everybody is going to say, and I get it. But it's still money. It's still money that can be used to the good, but then it's always going to be, okay, what's the next step going to be with this?
Mike, you're 100% right. And people want to see actions, but the way to do this is you need money to fund the actions. And we need money exactly to fund our cable bill or our phone bill. Because I believe, do we have Dom here now?
So Dom has a statement that he wants to say to everyone right now. He feels like he's being silenced. He feels like this is unfair. And so I'm going to put him on speaker and let him speak into my mic, and we're just going to see how this goes. Hold on. Dominique, you ready?
Horribly.
Two, one. All right, Dominique, you have the floor.
This is wild. You guys are trying to silence me during this time. The show with three white guys won't let me come in and say what I say. Every time I call it, all of a sudden we're having technical difficulties. I'm not sure, but this doesn't feel right now. It feels uncomfortable. This is the worst thing that's happened to me all week, and I think tides are turning. It's been a couple weeks now where everybody wanted to listen to what I have to say. I can feel it. It is over now. It is over, and you guys are the first ones to do it, to start the silencing of Dominique Foxworth, and you should be ashamed of yourselves.
Wow.
Wow.
He's not wrong. Okay, now we really have to hang up and really get this thing
let's
fixed.
Let's really try and get it fixed.
We really need to get this thing fixed.
None of this will show up on the best of Golic and Wingo at this point.
Actually, it might be the best of Golic and Wingo at this point.
That is very true. So we'll see where that goes. So, we'll see if we can get him. Obviously, we'd love to talk to him, but we'll see if we can work out.
Just know we are really trying.
Yeah, we are.
We are really trying.
Hey, he just laid it out there. It doesn't look great for us right now. I'm not going to lie.
Well, it hasn't looked great for us all morning with your thigh meat hanging out. So
I wonder if that has anything to do with it, the interference it's running there, but
I mean that is really white, your legs. So I mean,
wow. Okay,
all right, we're gonna simmer back down now. What did you guys left off on before I jutted in? I'm pretty sure we said nothing.
I mean, listen, there are two issues going on right now. The latest issues of the fact that the $250 million donation for the next 10 years, and a lot of the immediate reaction was, okay, that was the easy part because you make a lot of money. So what's going to be next? Coming from the NFL. And then the other side of that had been the fact that Pete Carroll said that this week he had got a phone call about Colin Kaepernick, because they had Colin Kaepernick in a couple of years ago, the thought of possibly signing him. They didn't do it, and he explained the reason why, but he actually said this week a team called him and asked him about that Colin Kaepernick situation a couple of years ago. So as Pete said, you know, I know of at least one team that may be interested. So we have money coming from the NFL to the social injustice causes that out there, and again, they're working with the Player Coalition. And then is it possibly going to happen that Colin Kaepernick could get signed by a team?
And remember, with Pete Carroll, the complication lies in the fact that when that was going on with him, there were a lot of people that thought Colin coming into that locker room, where was there some division in the way that Michael Bennett, Richard Sherman, and others viewed what Colin had been talking about versus Russell Wilson in that locker room? Would that create division amongst that and anything going on with that team? And so there was all of those complications, because I heard Will Cain say it in a promo, And there is the very real thing. Pete Carroll said, you know, we're currently happy with our backup quarterback situation right now, and we wouldn't probably make a move. Like, you come out and say this, like, there is nothing stopping you from exploring this option if you are Pete Carroll. It's great to hear that someone is reaching out and that that might become more of an option, but I don't know if
hey.
That... Oh,
got
hey! Oh, thank God.
You can't stop me.
Save us from ourselves and our technological failings. Dom, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me. I'm sorry for what I said earlier. I know you guys better than that. You guys are three good ones. Appreciate you getting me on the air. I take back all the things I said before, especially you, Trey.
You know what's going to be – hey, Dominique, you know what's going to be hilarious is because we all know social media, some people are going to think you were serious. That I can't wait for that. I just can't wait for that.
There's some part of me that thinks he was serious. So.
Dominique, I like social media. Dummies are great.
Yeah.
Well, Dominique, I saw on social media yesterday, and I want to play the clip again just to get you back in that mode because you obviously loved, like we did, what our colleague Ryan McGee had to say on First Take yesterday, talking about the Confederate flags removal in NASCAR. I'm going to give you just a bit of it here because I want to get you back in that mode before we talk about it. Here was Ryan McGee yesterday on First Take.
If there was any honor left in those stars and bars when the Civil War ended, in 1865, if there was any honor left in that thing, it was wrung out of that flag by those who flew it over burned crosses and those who flew it over lynched black Americans and those who flew it while they were throwing tomatoes at little girls trying to go to desegregated schools. If there was any honor left in that flag, it disappeared a long time ago. And if you want to see it, I can recommend a lot of great museums, and we can go have that conversation, but we are not going to have it at the Talladega Superspeedway.
Now, Dominique, I really hope you're still there and that we didn't lose you again after taking 30 seconds of your time to play another white person talking, but when you were on First Take vigorously nodding when you heard that. I mean, Ryan about summed it up better than any of us ever could.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I'm being completely honest with you. All I could hear was you breathing, but I hope the people listening could hear the clip. I remember the clip. I listened to it 13 times yesterday, so I don't need to hear it again. I thought it was awesome because he made the point that the flag has come to represent so many other things, and that whatever honor, that part really spoke to me because it's hard to explain, I think, to people who don't understand what that flag, how defending that flag feels, how listening to anyone try to defend that flag feels when you've seen it used and you see it waving in the background of so many horrific images in the history of our country. So I thought he did it incredibly well, and there's so many things that I think sound different coming from different people. So like when black people are talking about their experience, obviously it hits a little harder if it's coming from a black person. But if you hear a white person from the South who is descended from slave owners talk about that flag in that way, I think it hits much harder than anything I could say.
So Dominique, at this point, there's so much talk about actionable moves. And we saw it with NASCAR removing the Confederate flag. Now we see the NFL donating their $250 million over 10 years, to which some immediately said, well, that's easy because it's a $15 billion a year business. And again, right, money is always good to go to something. But then is it in your mind, what do you think of that, and then where the next actionable step should be?
Yeah, I'm not going to kind of turn my nose up at $250 million over right. 10 years. I think it's fair for people to point out that it's less than $1 million per owner per year, but it's still real money that can have some impact. But I think it feels like to me like they're trying to buy their way out of this obligation. They're a little different than many other companies that are putting out statements because they were like actively on the wrong side of this. So I need words from them. I need to hear from the owners on how they feel about this and the money that they're throwing at it. I'm not going to say that it's not enough, but it depends on what they think that they are buying, but I don't think they've bought themselves the ability to stay silent. And giving up money is different than giving up power, and it doesn't seem that that group is interested in changing the power dynamics from GM coaches to even up into ownership. So I think it's a significant amount of money, but I don't think it's the end for them, and it certainly shouldn't be. I hope they don't think it is.
In a remarkable turn of events, Dominique Foxworth still with us for more than a minute now. We're very excited about that. And then, Dom, there was the conversation from Pete Carroll, Dominique, that came out this week on Seahawks.com when he was trying to explain why they didn't sign Colin Kaepernick back in 2018. And look, it's easy to come out and say all this stuff now. I don't remember hearing a lot of that happen when they decided not to sign him back then. But the other thing that I found interesting is he said a team called him this week and actually had interest in Colin Kaepernick. What did you make of that?
Yeah, it's hard to make anything of it. Like, I didn't need Pete Carroll to come out and say, give us a confusing explanation for why they didn't sign him. Like, it was confusing for all of us why he wasn't in the league. Anyone who followed football, I guess it wasn't confusing. We knew why he wasn't in the league, and we knew it wasn't because of his ability. But I do think that some teams will show, like, renewed interest. But honestly, I'm not that optimistic that he'll land anywhere. It's still going to take some bit of courage from some team to bring him in. And we all know how football coaches think about anything that they would deem a distraction. So having Colin Kaepernick, which he'd come in as a backup in most situations right now, having him come in as a backup quarterback and to garner the amount of attention that he'll garner, I still think that there's not a team that would, there are very few teams that would be comfortable with bringing him in. The Seahawks is one example, but it seems like that is not necessarily a good landing spot anymore.
Dominique, do you think that, especially after what we saw, I mean, Drew Brees got his cage rattled pretty hard in all of this. Everyone seems to, and as you pointed out, the white quarterbacks speak up in a lot of this, the protected class of players there. Is there anything that feels different about this time where you think there might be more follow-through to this, especially from that group?
Oh, it absolutely feels different to me. Like, I've never been in this world where it feels like America cares what, like, it feels like America genuinely cares what black people have to say. And it feels like America believes the things that black people are saying their experiences. And I've never felt that before in my life. Like, I hope that it does lead to something different, but I've never felt this way before. So it makes me feel like there is something different going forward. So I'm optimistic, I guess, in a way that I haven't been in the past.
Dominique, let's actually talk football on the field for a moment, especially training for football. You got in the league, I believe, in 2005, where, you know, off-season programs, you got to be with your teammates, the strength coach, and kind of prepare, get a little time off, and then go to camp. We're seeing now that it looks like players won't see coaches and vice versa till July 28th. So this is really old school, where it is on the player to basically prepare themselves for training camp and show up ready to go. How difficult do you think that will be for players who are not used to that way of going about that business?
Right. I mean, I think we can go back to the most recent lockout as the example of kind of having that type of separation. But I don't think we were – I think we had we just dropped camp, if I remember correctly, just before camp. And it was a tough situation because obviously everyone was on different tracks. But I think about it as an opportunity, honestly, for players who do have the discipline and are responsible enough, because they're going to be a good percentage of players who don't know how to prepare for a season. The younger guys could be in that situation, and there will be some older guys too who I think don't have the willpower or self-control to get themselves right for a season without a coach standing over their shoulder. So I think it's going to be an opportunity for the guys who have been ready. And I know a lot of us think that the young guys – or it's reasonable to believe that the young guys will have a lot of trouble with this, but a lot of rookies are just coming off of combine training and probably stayed in those areas. So a lot of those guys may be in the best shape of their lives. I know I was coming out of 2005 was the 2005 was the best shape I'd ever been in, just getting ready for the combine. So some of those guys might have a lag in learning offense and defense, but they should be in pretty good condition.
Dominique, when were you with the Ravens again?
Like 2009, 10, and 11, I think.
Okay, so what did you make of, I don't know if you heard him, John Harbaugh's comments basically saying he finds the rules that the NFL has in place right now for the virus humanly impossible when it comes to playing football.
Yeah, I think he's right. I played for him. He's a very good coach, obviously, and I think he's right. It's going to be hard to, and we don't understand virus fully yet, as much as we want to pretend like we're in control. Trusting NFL teams to protect their players and trusting players who their living is based on them, like, throwing their body into harm's way and kind of fearlessly taking some level of risk, like, to trust them to protect themselves is going to be hard. So there will be positive tests in all sports. There will be positive tests, and we got to hope that that doesn't lead to an entire team getting infected and their families getting infected and anything – any kind of long-term damage happening to any of those players. But I think he's absolutely right. It's impossible to to effectively practice and play football and also be 6 feet apart and execute real social distancing. Like, you can't really do that. I've never seen anybody set a block from that far away.
No, it's pretty difficult. I've tried and usually failed, and that's why I get so many sacks. So, Dominic Foxworth, listen to this. And Dominic, you were president of the NFLPA, you were the COO of the NBAPA, and so your understanding of labor relations and negotiations and the things that goes into that, it far surpasses any of ours. And I've been curious, and I've wanted to ask you about this. Major League Baseball and what they're going through right now, their union has traditionally had a ton of strength and leverage, obviously no revenue split, no salary cap, and all those things that I'd imagine look pretty advantageous from the outside looking in. As you've seen what's gone on with Major League Baseball right now and the argument and the stance that the Players Association has taken, that we're not taking anything less than our prorated salary for those games, we'll never concede to a revenue split, even amidst all this pandemic, when you look at that situation, do you think that they're right for holding as strong to that during all of this as any other time?
Yeah, I absolutely think they're right. I know that it won't be well received necessarily, but I think they are right. It's interesting to me that a business would expect their employees to be partners in this time and not necessarily be partners with them in the good times. So I've talked about this a bunch lately, and I think the franchise values for major league teams has gone up 300% in the last 10 years, while the salaries for players have gone up 30% in the last 10 years. So if we were really partners, then the salaries would have gone up 300% also. So I don't understand why all of a sudden we're partners and the players need to take a pay cut in order to invest in the future of the game. They're not going to own the game in the future. They're not going to own their positions in the future. They are employees for a determined amount of time, whereas a finite amount of time, whereas the owners own their teams into perpetuity. And I promise you, that those teams are going to be all right because they are a legal monopoly, and monopolies normally do good in business. Even when there's a financial downturn, they're going to bounce back. As long as people want to watch pro sports, baseball is going to be all right in America. So I'm not even sure that they should take the prorated salaries, but I know that no one wants to hear that from me or any athlete. But you can't say that I have the most experience when your dad went through a strike. Like, he's a real OG in his labor life.
Well, I appreciate that, Dominic, very much. And it was not fun getting no checks. and then to have the millionaire stars cross the picket line. Didn't really go our way,
appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
That's a great time. Yeah,
Dominic, thanks for hanging with us with our technical difficulties. I blame it all on the blazing white thigh meat of Mike Golic Jr. It's just been such a distraction all morning. It's not even worth going over again.
Thanks, Dominic.
Be good, brother.
Thigh day.
Yes, I knew if anyone was going to support thigh day. It was going to be Dominique Foxworth. I've always said defensive backs are just small offensive linemen.
Much better.
That's
than,
all they are.
Much better than a true leg day, which anybody who's ever lifted know you hate. Yeah, we're all going to be texting Dominique separately, apologizing for what just went on.
We need to fix that. That was seven. Well, I guess it's the new phrase, 17th time the charm.
Yeah,
but we finally got it working. Yeah. Coming up next, it is really a small world for some people in the NBA, and I think they're just beginning to realize that.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
All right, Golic and Wingo here with you on a Friday morning. We've been disjointed all day. It's been a little unusual, in a large part because Mike Golic Jr.'s short shorts have thrown me and his dad off remarkably,
yes,
right?
Yes,
I mean, you're with me. That's ridiculous,
listen,
right?
I've, you know, grown up with this.
Yeah, seeing the thighs. But this is insane to you, right?
It doesn't shock me that he was going to do this.
But here's one of the beautiful things about quarantine. As we're doing the show from Mike Golick's basement, you know, you can walk around and traipse around the house and find certain things.
Right.
So I went upstairs to throw away some trash, and I came across a lovely little photo.
Oh, that picture's already been out on Twitter.
Of you in shorter shorts.
Markedly shorter shorts.
Oh, yeah.
What were you doing?
My wife, Chris, already tweeted that out, and I'm holding a monster bass, by the way. That was at a bass tournament.
I'm not looking at the bass. Right. That's all I'm telling you.
Well, I don't think many people are, my friend.
So we may do a side-by-side of this picture, me and my short shorts with Mike. So
we'll get that
up there for you.
My God. Our show collectively needs to get back in the zone.
Can we get back in the zone by talking to Brian Windhorst? Yeah. Let's get in the zone. Can the NBA teams get in the zone as they get to Disney? Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. Brian Windhorst, we're so glad you can save us from ourselves this morning. First question, how concerned should NBA fans be about these players who are suddenly realizing what you actually have to do to go through the bubble/campus/resort experience in Orlando?
Yeah, I don't have a great answer for that because it's so dynamic and it's changing by the day. Last Friday, the players' union, I think it was a proxy vote because it didn't do it. You know, didn't have a proxy.
Why don't we let's put
Brian
on. Boy, we're
having a day today.
It's not you,
but
Brian.
You know what? Dominique should feel better now.
Yeah,
Dominique should feel better because we're equal opportunity technically.
But numbers have started to come out from NBA to the players, and they're starting to see a little more of some of the parameters. And there are some players who basically are thinking, you know what, we're not going to be there all that long, and we really may not have a shot at this. So do I want to go down there, quarantine, go through all of this that's going on, you know, just to end up leaving a few weeks later and not really having a chance to accomplish anything?
Yeah, and I think it's just the reality of the situation, right, where so much of it is agreed, in this idea that we're all earnestly wanting to get sports back. And so the NBA did the thing that we all asked all our sports to do, which was, all right, just try and find a way back by any means necessary. And I think in that haste, a lot of people are now just reading the fine print for the first time.
And I think we have Brian Windhorst back with us. So, Brian, you were just beginning to talk about the level of concern when you broke up. So I'll ask the question again. How concerned should an NBA fan be here?
You know, I can't give a direct answer to that because this thing is so dynamic, it's changing by the day. It was just last Friday that the union basically gave the thumbs up to the league. Let's go forward. Sorry, let's go forward and get this done. And then the players, I think when they started seeing the details over the last 4 or 5 days about what was actually going to be required of them in this bubble, I think some guys got sick. And I understand that, to be honest with you.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. This is. Hey. You know what?
It just ain't our day, man.
You know what? Listen. When you're on for 20 hours a week and you have a 16 segments a show, everything's not going to go smoothly. So let's just, Brian, we appreciate you giving it a shot. Yeah. We really do. We've been talking about it.
It's us. And so, we appreciate your patience.
100%.
You know what? I wonder. I just wonder who's going to be that first player because somebody's going to have to say, "I'm not going." Right. And you wonder if there are. If it's going to have to be more of a name player, someone who's a little more secure, you know, in their future in the NBA and foundation before others may want to say no as well.
That's a great point because we have heard from Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Who had some serious questions and we had this discussion. Would he be a big enough name to have people really give pause? And we all sort of said we didn't think so because of where he is in his career and the team he plays for.
Well, and he also just said maybe in all this, right? Like,
I'm using him as an example because he brought it up.
If he were to come out and say, you know what, I really don't feel comfortable doing this and going forward, I don't think it would necessarily have the splash. Now, what I did hear from Brian Windhorst when we heard sound from him on other shows was this idea that there were players even on the executive committee, guys that were high-ranking guys within the NBA's Players Association who have been going about this all along. And that was the interesting part to me is that people that had been so close to this situation, it shows you just how many tentacles there are to figure out in this, where even the people that were close to this inside the Players Association, who in theory would have been there with the planning all along for what they were getting ready to roll out, still knew there was more to come. And as they found that out, the reaction has been sort of an understanding of what a stark reality it's going to be.
So, and there may be a lot of people that are saying, well, what effect will it really have? It's going to be players on teams that aren't really going to maybe make the playoffs or be at the low end of the playoffs. Well, it certainly could change the dynamics if a couple of stars don't show up for some of the teams trying to fight for a spot. It may throw another team, thrust another team into a position to make the playoffs or make a team not have to work as hard to make the playoffs. There are ancillary things to this. At the end of the day, we don't think any name is going to be from a team that would affect really what the 4 to 5 teams we think that really have that shot at the championship this year.
I mean, when you look at like the people we would consider true contenders in all of this, like obviously you don't expect it from anyone from the Lakers or the Bucks or anything like that in this situation. And then who else are we really talking about in both conferences when we mention that? Who could fit into this category? Because again, like I feel like, I don't know if we're going to look at this, it probably wouldn't skew like young, unbridled enthusiasm, guys that would feel invincible in a lot of this when it comes to certain teams.
Well, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge is out with his injury in San Antonio. Could there be other Spurs that are be like, okay, we ain't got a shot now. We're already, you know, we're on the outside of that 8th seed trying to battle in to get at least in the area to maybe be in a play-in. We don't have our best player in LaMarcus Aldridge. So maybe would some of those guys want to beg off of that possibly?
I'm going to go down the list here. Like the Bucks, the Toronto Raptors, got to imagine they have a chance in all this. Yes, so there's not going to be a plenty of defection there. The Boston Celtics.
Nope.
That young core there, certainly.
No.
The Miami Heat, with the season that they've had for the team that was constantly not talked about enough until it was far too late in a lot of the
I think they're all in.
The Pacers.
Yes.
The 76ers.
Absolutely. The 76ers are getting healthy.
So, like, once we get down to, like, the Brooklyn Nets sitting at the 6th seed, like, that's where it gets interesting to me in the East. The Western Conference, the Lakers at the 1 seed,
course,
the Clippers at the
course.
2 seed, the Nuggets at the 3 seed.
Yes.
Utah, the 4 seed. All in the...
Nikola Jokic, by the way.
Nikola Jokic, literally. Yeah. I mean, my God, remember, his nickname was the Dad Bod God? Not anymore. He is Slimmy McSlimmerson now. It's incredible.
He got tired of the nickname.
Apparently.
He got tired of being fat.
All kudos to Randy Scott, who came up with that nickname, the Dad Bod God. I would not want to steal his thunder.
No, but so then Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Houston Rockets, like the Dallas Mavericks, especially in the Western Conference, a lot of these young teams like the Memphis Grizzlies, I'd have to imagine still, I mean, we talked about that dogfight it was going to be to get in the playoffs between the Pelicans and the Grizzlies because we like the Zion Ja angle of that. But if you're the Grizzlies in a young team like that, I'd have to imagine even in these circumstances, that playoff experience would probably be valuable.
Yeah, it's Portland, it's New Orleans, and it's Sacramento all sitting there tied in that slot right behind Memphis at the 8th slot.
So again, when we had Brian and we could hear him and it was not him, it was us. He says this is changing daily. Yeah. So if there's one big name that comes out and says, hang on a minute, I may not go, that changes the whole dynamic.
Understand, we're going to play. They're going to play down there. It's just a matter of just what you said, Trey. Is there going to be a name that could change the dynamics? And I don't think any of us believe there is.
All right, we'll see over the next couple of days whether or not someone does pop up along that status level. If you're missing basketball, we all are, tune in tomorrow night for an NBA Classic. Game 2 of the 2011 NBA Finals between the Mavs and the Heat, presented by AutoZone. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coming up, who is the best active player in the NBA without a championship?
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Napa Know How. Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more. Quality parts, delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
You'll love it, show. You ready?
Everything has nuance. Nothing happens in black and white. See, Bubba's going to hate me again, but I think there's nuance here. You guys have to embrace the nuance in life. Wait, hold on. There's two questions there. Life is not black and white. It's mostly gray.
Just answer the question.
No. Well, which one do you want me to answer? You're loving the statement.
You love it or shove it. It's a statement, and then you love it or shove it. This is the first time playing.
No, it's not, and it should probably be the last time playing.
You missing basketball? Tune in tomorrow night for an NBA classic. Game 2 of the 2011 NBA Finals between the Mavs and the Heat, presented by AutoZone. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hi, Golic and Wingo here with you. Glad you're with us. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
Although that has been anything but certain this morning.
So you know what? We're going to give it another go. You guys ready to bring someone else
Let's play a little game?
Bubba, are you there?
I am here.
Hey!
Yes!
We are delighted to hear you crystal clear. So you want to play a little love it or shove it, Bubba?
Let's do it. I'm ready. You're ready. Granger's ready. The thighs are ready. So let's get going. Love it or shove it, brought to you by Granger. Antonio Brown will play for the Texans this season. Love it or shove it.
So Brown posted on his Instagram, Big 4X soon, hashtag call God, with a photo of him in the three uniforms that he's played in. Deshaun Watson commented on that and said, glory.
Well, it would – listen, first of all, there's going to have to be a resolution of his case.
Right.
And then there's going to be a suspension. And then you have to decide if a team is willing to go through all that and do that with him. I can't love it yet, so I'm going to have to shove it.
He's so talented, too.
He's so
talented. Once you get him on the field and put those blinders on and just look at his football. But too many other things, I'm shoving this.
He doesn't play running back, so the Texans won't be interested. Wow.
Boom. Nicely done.
Bubba, what do we got?
Dalvin Cook will hold out. Love it or shove it.
I'm going to shove it. I don't think he does.
He doesn't have
again,
leverage.
Last year of his deal, 1.3 mil, said he's not going to do any activities until he gets a reasonable deal. So if the Minnesota isn't going to play along with that and it's up to him holding out or not, I do not think he holds out. I shove it.
Yeah, I'm going to shove this too. Now, I think it's worth noting that a lot of the rules in the new collective bargaining agreement that apply to guys holding out don't apply to rookie contracts.
Exactly.
They only apply to veteran
players
on veteran contracts. So not subject to some of those same extremes, but I think he's had to have seen publicly too much of the writing on the wall. If this initial wave doesn't work, I have a feeling this is one where it winds up back in camp.
Yeah, again, he's clearly outperformed the contract. Only Christian McCaffrey had more yards, scrimmage yards per game than him last season. But there's no leverage for him. There's none.
Nope.
So I'm going to shove the holdout.
Bubba.
All right, love it or shove it. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Zion Williamson should be on the cover of NBA 2K21. Love it or shove it.
Why not? Love it. Hell yeah, put him on there. I mean,
you know what I mean? Probably barely played half the season.
So what?
Not going to win Rookie of the Year.
You ever seen the movie Trading Places?
Yes.
Get in there and sell.
Yeah,
that's the whole point.
Everyone,
it's not should the best player be on there. It's who's going
to
buy the most games.
Wants to see him, man. Put him on there. Go ahead.
Love it. I'm all for Zion being on there. You're about selling the product.
Listen, I just had to say that to like cover my bases and give you guys an out. He should absolutely be on it. I still think he should win Rookie of the Year. He's not going to, but he should in all this one. The new PS5, by the way. Dear God.
There you go, Bubba.
I need a cigarette.
What's next?
All right, of the three New York quarterbacks, Josh Allen faces the most pressure this season. Love it or shove it.
All right, caveat, asterisk. We all know, and then the Buffalo fans will say he's the only true New York quarterback, but the other two teams, even though they play in Jersey, are called the New York Jets and the New York
Jets. Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, and Josh Allen. I absolutely love this because he's on the best team. He's on the best team, and the team that always wins the division just lost their GOAT.
Yeah.
So they're in a great position to make a move right now. No other team of all those other two teams, I think, are looking to win their division, or we think are in position to win their division. Buffalo is.
I absolutely love this. In fact, I'll take it way farther. I think there's only one other quarterback that may be under more pressure this year.
And you're going to say Baker
Josh
Mayfield.
Allen. That's Baker Mayfield. And the only difference between the two of them is that all the people that drafted Baker are out of the building now. The people that drafted Josh in that first round are still there, but they have put up a team around him, and they basically said, go do the thing that we drafted you to do.
The more and more I've sat with it, I really don't know if I agree on the Baker point anymore in a lot of this, just because I think he's already a better quarterback than Josh Allen is in a lot of this, but Josh Allen has a playoff team around him, and it's only going to highlight some of the things that have been deficiencies for him going along with this. So I absolutely love this one. Josh Allen, by the way, of those three, 50-1 odds for MVP voting. Sam Darnold Darnold, the next closest at 100-1. Daniel Jones at $125-1 on this one right now. So Danny Dimes could be good bang for your buck right there if you're looking for long odds.
Bubba.
All right, we got Love It or Shove It, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. James Harden is the best active player in the NBA without a championship. Love it or shove it.
Well, I mean, two come to mind for me.
I mean, I'm going to shove it, Giannis.
Yeah.
I'm no.
Yeah. Giannis is the other one. You could make an argument his teammate in Houston could have that title, in Russell Westbrook.
I mean, I think of the two, James Harden, just because of his offensive prowess, you probably have to give him the nod as the best player on that team.
Absolutely, but he is a Sam's Club shooter, better discount but by volume.
You taking either one of those over Giannis?
No, but I'm saying, but this is why I'm shoving it. You can make the argument for Giannis, absolutely, and you could also say, you know, as an all-around player, Mr. Triple-Double might be better.
I don't know if I'm ready to go that route.
I just did.
Giannis might join Kareem and LeBron James as the only players in league history with multiple MVPs before 25. So I feel like any answer that's not him, it probably just faking it for the sake of radio. Yeah.
Let's get to this next one. I love it.
Torkelson. Yes, Torkelson is the least intimidating name for a number one pick. Love it or shove it.
Spencer Torkelson.
Again, from Arizona State, was the number one pick by the Detroit Tigers in this year's draft, which the first round was a couple of days ago.
I'm going to shove it because I want you to read some of these other names. Like Berwanger.
Jay Berwanger, Gary Glick, 1936 NFL draft.
Yeah, Jay Berwanger, first overall pick in the 1936 draft, and the first Heisman Trophy winner ever, Jay Berwanger.
Jared Goff.
Right.
Bob Boozer. Come on.
Charlie Trippi, the first overall pick in the 1945
Hall of Famer, Charlie Trippi.
I'm sorry, right away, Greg Jolly. Jolly is least intimidating as you can get, right?
Why are we putting Humpty on this list? Why is our pal Humpty on this list? Rick DiPietro.
Maybe because we know him, he's a sweetheart.
I mean, DiPietro's not. What's unintimidating about DiPietro?
I'd say just because Jolly is on that list, there's no way I have to shove this.
Bubba, take it home.
All right, love it or shove it, brought to you by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, there's Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, plus 24/7 customer support and product specialists, always ready to answer any question. Call or visit Grainger.com.
Well done, Bubba.
I just want to say Jay Berwanger one more time. Coming up next, sports.
It's our smoothest segment of the day.
That's sad.